Good morning. Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church and Christian Preschool. So glad you're here today. Glad we could worship together. And we're going to begin today with the children's sermon. Do we have any children here at all? Come on up, Keith. All right. Well, you know, it's the Sunday School Christmas program at second service, so they're all going to be in the program. But that's okay. So we'll just skip the children's sermon. I was wondering if you were going to have a problem with that. Everybody always says, oh, I like the children's sermon better than your regular sermon. But that's all right. You can all be the kids today. Okay, kids. Oh, wait. I see. Hey, come on up for the children's sermon. Come on, that's right, you can leave your coat on. Boy, whew, I am glad you're here, Sierra. I don't know what I'd do without you. Oh, and Sydney too, perfect. Okay, good. So, I'm going to show you some animals, okay? And I want you to tell me if you think these animals would be friends, okay? First, a zebra, okay? And secondly, a lion. Do you think the zebra and the lion would be friends in the wild? No. What would happen? Right. Okay. Lions hunt zebras. Okay. How about this? A cow and a bear. Do you think they'd get along okay in the wild? Right? Okay. What about a lamb or a sheep and a wolf? Do you think they'd be friends? That's kind of fun. All right. A snake. A poisonous snake and a baby human. Do you think they would be friends? You think so? No, they wouldn't. Okay, so, but wait. Imagine that there is, oh, say, a Vikings fan. Do we have any Vikings fans here today? Oh, okay. We got one right here. A very rabid Vikings fan. Okay, wait. Now, you stay there. But what if we also had a Packers fan here today? Oh, okay. Look, and up there, too. All right, look at that. Okay, so do you think that those two women could be friends? I don't know. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? All right. Well, you guys have a seat. Thank you very much. Imagine there was a big election. Okay, there's a big election, and one person had a sign up in their yard. It said, "Vote for peas." And the person who lived next door had a sign in their yard that said, "Vote for carrots." And imagine that the peas won. Do you think the people who voted for peas and the people who voted for carrots could be friends? What do you think? What do you think, congregation? You think so? So here's the thing. Today in our Bible reading, our first Bible reading, Isaiah talks about when the Messiah comes, which is another name that we have for Jesus. When the Messiah comes, that it's going to be a time of peace, that lions, instead of eating zebras, will eat straw or plants, and that cows will be able to eat grass right alongside bears who are eating berries, and the wolf and the sheep will be able to live together. Maybe they could even ride on the back. I don't know about that, okay? And little babies can put their hand in the snake hole and not even get bitten. Wouldn't that be cool? And Packers fans and Viking fans will be friends with each other, that people can root for their own team and still be friends, and people can be friends like peas and carrots no matter who they voted for. Wouldn't that be cool? Be great. But the thing is, we don't even have to wait for Jesus to come for that to happen. It's the second Sunday in Advent, and the second Sunday in Advent, we talk about peace, that we get ready for Jesus coming by helping to make peace in the world. So do you have any ideas? How could we be peacemakers in the world? What do you think? What's something we could do? Talk to your sister? That's a good start, okay? What do you think, congregation? How can we be peacemakers in the world? Yell it out. What's that? Be nice. Be nice, okay? I like it.
Forgive.
Forgive. Excellent. How about say I'm sorry? How about cooperate? That things don't have to be my way all the time. How about solving our problems without fighting? How about helping people, even people we don't know or people who are different? There are all kinds of things that we can do to be peacemakers even before Jesus comes, okay? So it's the second Sunday in Advent, and it's a Sunday of peace. What team do you root for? I don't care, any team. What sport do you like?
Football.
What sport do you like?
Volleyball.
Volleyball. Okay. Do you think a football fan and a volleyball fan can light candles together? Yeah. All right. Come on over and help me. Look at you, Sierra. You get to light the candle 2 weeks in a row. Come on up. Why don't we have Sierra come first? Get up on the. Do you remember how to do it from last week? Get it up really high. Do we get it? We got to get you a taller ladder. I can feel the anticipation building. Okay, we're going to light this one today. Go ahead. Jamie will work on that this week. There we go. Thank you. And Sydney, could you light that one? There we go. All right. And everybody, let's bow our heads, fold our hands, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, help me to be a peacemaker for you. Amen. All right, wait, before you go off, I do have a treat for you today. What do you think it is? Well, of course, it's peas and carrots. Well, there you go. Here, take two. All right. Thanks, guys. All right. Everybody else, stand and go ahead, and I want you to greet your neighbors and say to them, peace to meet you. Thank you. And you can remain standing as we begin with our gathering hymn number 259. We got a picture this last Sunday from Mandy, who it's almost like she read my mind. She knew what we were talking about this week, love, hope, and peace. And also, she reminds us that the cross is a reminder that Jesus will always love us, even if we are unthankful that he died on the cross. It's good to remember that, you know what, don't worry about it. Even if you and God haven't been on the best of terms lately, know that even still, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all.
And also with you.
please pray with me the prayer of the day. Put it in the bulletin. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And you may be seated for the reading. Our first reading today is written in the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And you may stand as we sing the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one is more powerful, who is more powerful than I, is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord. And you may be seated. The movie Jurassic Park. Didn't expect that, did you? The movie Jurassic Park is about a group of people who go and visit an island, a theme park that's filled with dinosaurs that have been genetically engineered from ancient DNA found preserved in amber. And so they create these dinosaurs, and to make sure that they keep the population from getting out of hand, they only create female dinosaurs.
We control their chromosomes. It's really not that difficult. All vertebrate embryos are inherently female anyway. They just require an extra hormone given at the right developmental stage to make them male. We simply deny them that.
Deny them that?
John, the kind of control you're attempting is... It's not possible. Listen, if there's one thing the history of evolution has taught us, it's that life will not be contained. Life breaks free, it expands to new territories, and it crashes through barriers painfully, maybe even dangerously, but, well, there it is.
There it is.
You're implying that a group composed entirely of female animals will breed?
No, I'm simply saying that life, finds a way.
What could possibly go wrong? Don't worry, they can't really bring extinct dinosaurs back. Or can they? You know, Jeff Goldblum is right. Life finds a way. Life is extremely persistent. In fact, on this earth, there's a whole class of organisms called extremophiles, and one of those is this guy right here, the tardigrade. Extremophiles have adapted to live in very extreme conditions where it seems as though life wouldn't be possible, and yet there's life there. Like the tardigrade, for example, they found tardigrades, even though they're only a millimeter big, they found them living in geysers at Yellowstone National Park. They found them happily living in a bubbling, boiling asphalt lake in Trinidad. Tardigrades have been found happily living on radioactive nuclear waste. They've taken tardigrades into outer space and put them out floating out in space where they were subjected to the radiation and the lack of oxygen in space and brought them back to Earth, and they were just fine. No problem whatsoever. Extremophiles live in the most extreme places. Like there are hydro vents at the bottom of the ocean where the water shooting out has been heated by the Earth's crust. It's over 500 degrees Fahrenheit, and yet there are living organisms in that 500 degree water. Even in clean rooms where the air is filtered and the water is sterilized by radiation, still, there are living microbes that sneak through. The Dead Sea. It's called the Dead Sea because it's so salty. We figured no life could possibly live there, and yet they discovered that there is a whole class they call halophiles, which are organisms that live well in salty conditions. They thrive there. And even in Antarctica, they have found living microbes that have been frozen in the ice for millions of years, and yet they're still alive. Life is persistent. But you don't have to go a long, long ways away to find out that. Just put your hand on your stomach and know that inside of there are millions of little microbes just going to town in there, and all that acid, especially if you had yogurt for breakfast or perhaps a fermented beverage last night. And what about that stump in your backyard, that old dead stump that keeps putting up a shoot? It keeps wanting to be a tree. The stump is dead, and yet there is life in the roots. There's still life in the roots. And this is the message that Isaiah gives to the people of Israel in our first reading today. He says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Now, Jesse was the father of David, King David. So Jesse really was the father of their nation. And Isaiah is telling them that new life will come even though you're cut down right now. Because you see, even though they were a great nation, they turned their backs on God. They didn't take care of the poor like they were supposed to. They started following false gods and worshiping idols. And so the Bible says God used their neighbors, the Babylonians and the Assyrians, to come and to take them away to exile, to take them away from their nation. They are cut off. Even so, says Isaiah, there is still life in your roots. And he puts out before them this vision of a peaceful world that's yet to come, where all beings live together in peace, and it's so peaceful they don't need a warrior to lead them, but a child will lead them instead, where the poor are lifted up, new life out of old stump. Well, I don't know about you, but it seems like these days we often kind of feel cut off. We feel like old, dead stumps. I mean, we feel cut off and cut down by illness. We feel cut down by weird, unfavorable weather. We feel cut down by politics. We feel cut down by financial problems, cut down by grief, the loss of our loved ones. We feel cut down by all the violence we see in our world. Cut down because this world is just changing so fast. It's just changing all the time. It's hard to keep up. And even in the church, I mean, what's the deal? The Advent candles used to be purple and pink, and now they're blue. I mean, everything is changing, right? We're living in a time where society is changing so quickly, and there are new global realities, and it just leaves us feeling tired and exhausted a lot of the times. You know, even young people like confirmation and other places, when I talk to our young people and I say, how are you doing today? So often they say, I'm tired. I'm tired. We're tired. Our kids are tired. We're exhausted. It is a very confusing time, I think, that we're living in. A lot of the old realities that we used to count on are disappearing, and we don't know what the new realities are going to be yet. It's a time of transition. It feels like a time of wilderness these days, and we often wonder, how can there be life here? But it just so happens that this is where God meets God's people, in the wilderness. Time and time and time again throughout Scripture, God meets God's people in the wilderness. Abraham and Sarah had to go through the wilderness as they left their old home in Ur and went to the land that God had promised them. The Israelites, in their transition from being slaves to free people, had to go through the wilderness. Even Jesus, when he transitioned from being a carpenter's son to the Son of God with a mission, he went through the wilderness. The wilderness equals transition in the Bible, and it's where God's people go to learn to trust God. And so here we are in this wilderness, but yet in this wilderness there is life in unexpected places, and there is still life in our roots. And it's in the wilderness where God's word meets us today. Through John the Baptist, out in the wilderness, he comes to us and he calls us to repent, to turn our hearts and our lives back to God. He calls us back to our baptism, back to our roots that still give us life, back to that vision of a world of peace, a world that God wants for us. But is it really a good idea to let a child lead us? Any fans of Parks and Recreation TV show? Anyone? Nobody wants to admit it? Okay. I guess I'm the only one. Parks and Recreation, if you know Parks and... over here. Thank you. Parks and Recreation, if you watch that show, then you no doubt know the sad tale of Ben Wyatt.
You're Benji Wyatt?
I am. When I was 18, I ran for mayor of my small town and won. A little bit of anti-establishment voter rebellion, I guess. Here's the thing, though, about 18-year-olds, they're idiots. So I pretty much ran the place into the ground after 2 months and got impeached. Worst part was my parents grounded me.
Bummer. All right, 18-year-olds, we love you. We don't think you're idiots. It's just that you're 18. You still have things to learn. We know because we were 18 once, too. Right? We love children. We love what children bring to us and bring to our church, but is it really a good idea to let a child be in charge? Really? Well, not unless that child is the child in the manger. Not unless that child is the child in the manger who is from the stump of Jesse, from David's line, because that child grew up to be the embodiment of Isaiah's vision. He grew up to be the ultimate peacemaker who said, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you, who cared about the poor and the weak. He embodied that, and he brought life where it seemed that no life was possible, life out of death. And so in this wilderness that we're in our lives and in our world, God meets us in that wilderness, and he calls us to turn our hearts and our lives back to him. During this Advent season, as we prepare the way for Jesus, we go back to our roots, we go back to our baptism, back to what really matters, and we remember that life is persistent and that even old dead stumps like us can live again. Amen. Let's stand and sing our next hymn, which is number 249. And please join me as we confess together what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord Jesus, in these days of transition, walk with us through the wilderness and lead us to new life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope and strength and peace, be with all who are in need, We pray today especially for Justin Heyer, Rhonda Westergaard, Pat Jacobson, Don and Joanne Knowlton, Tony Allen, James Strike, John Rima, Leon Isaacson, Dwayne Ortmeyer, Ron Myers, Jack Hulbert, Mike Lau, Sandra Link, Dan Carey, and Donna Stewart. Lord, give your comfort and strength to Lisa Hines and her family at the death of her grandfather and for all who grieve. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all those in the armed forces and their families, especially for Kim Hall, Alex Binger, and Robson Shanklin. We lift up before you those others who are on our hearts as we name them silently before you now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all say, Amen. And you may be seated as we continue with the offering. We pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, I want to say thank you today to Talene Litterer for the poinsettias on the altar in memory of Clarence, and also thanks to Mike and Darcy Tracy for sponsoring the radio broadcast today in memory of Jackson Tracy. So I was told to keep it short today so I can get out of here. This is all going to be transformed into a stable in Bethlehem and an emperor's palace in Rome. So the children's Christmas program, Sunday school Christmas program, is at 10:15. We encourage you, invite you to come back and see what they've got for us. After that, there is going to be a soup dinner in the parish hall. It smells so good. I walked in yesterday, and I just wanted to go in and eat it all up. But come and join us for that. If you're able, we'd love to have you. Next week, there is just one service. It's going to be at 9 o'clock, and it's a joint service together with Messiah Lutheran. We're going to celebrate together the music of Advent and Christmas. After that, there's going to be a potluck, and we're going to decorate cookies, and then we're going to go Christmas caroling. We're going to take the church bus. So come and join us. If you're going to join us for the potluck next week, it is suggested that if your last name starts A through G, then bring a side dish. H through S, bring a main dish, or T through Z, bring cookies, or if your last name is DeVore, for example, then it's got a capital D and a capital V, so therefore you need to bring a side dish and cookies. Okay, you tell your parents that. All right. You know, or bring whatever you want. We don't care. Just come and join us, all right? Okay, let's close with a benediction. May Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. And we sing our sending hymn, which is number 246. Go in peace, share the good news. Thanks be to God.
too many books on here, I can't see the light. I'm getting to the age where I have to have the light.
Yes, it happens.
I know. Eric's getting bifocals. I haven't quite brought myself to that. Yeah, but it's coming. save your new soup, I suppose.
Good.
What is that? Oh, at our house? Yeah, you're going to have to help me get ready sometime for that. Like, upstairs needs to be cleaned. Away upstairs. Like, vacuum, toilet clean, stuff like that. Can you get a glove?
Do you think that they will want, or do you want, Mark, the iPad to be out during the Christmas program? I'm not planning on doing anything, and Jamie's going to be up there.
I don't know anything about the children's program at all, except for, I don't know why they, unless they want the group mics out, the little kids thing maybe.
Yeah, but Jamie's going to be.
Oh, he's going to be up there. Well, we just need to put the mics out, though. No, and then that should be fine.
Put away.
Is Jamie doesn't work next week, does he?
No.
Can you run the iPad?
Well, I can. The problem is sitting up front.
I know. It's hard to hear.
Yeah.
I'll maybe see if he's around, if he would.
Yeah. Or you can ask John. I think it's been enough time now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, it's not his job to do it, but
no.
He knows.
And well, he came that one Sunday, and then Jamie ended up coming, and I think he kind of wanted to do it.
Yeah.
He came to, yeah.
To see that.
Okay. Yeah, I would do that.
Okay.
I'll check with Jamie first.
Sometimes
Jamie comes, so yeah, he would.
Just check with John to see if he's going to be here.
Okay, because there's a lot going on that I don't know if we want the group mics on all the time and stuff. So. Sure. My stomach's growling. I'll take them. That's
like
right.
These
you know
sugar snap peas.
I love really sugar good. Snap peas.